You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 18 of Atheistically Speaking. Today we're going to be continuing our conversation with Adam Reeks of the Herd Mentality podcast. But before we get to that, I just want to ask if, I know I usually put it in the show somewhere, my little plugs section, but I wonder if you guys could please write some iTunes reviews. We have a good number of them, but we could always use more, and it really helps us with the iTunes charts. So if you could take a second, write us a good iTunes review, and I'd be very grateful for that. So thanks so much. We're going to continue the conversation from where we left off, and I will go ahead and start that right now. So I'm wondering, sort of linked back to, not to where we digressed about the different strategies of different insane debaters here, but... Before that, when we were talking about belief and people justifying with the Bible and picking and choosing, all that, I wanted to talk to you about – I did have to go back and listen to the Ricky Gervais episode, you know, because I'm such a big fan of his, and it did not disappoint. One thing he said, though, that I would be very curious to get your take on, he mentioned how he doesn't – hold anything against believers as long as it doesn't affect anyone. And he doesn't really begrudge anyone a belief, that sort of thing. And I hear that a lot. And one thing I've thought about that, and I kind of want to see if people would agree, is I think the problem there becomes that it's impossible to go around and look at everyone's irrational beliefs and do some sort of threat assessment of how exactly it's going to affect people, how it doesn't affect people. I don't believe that there's this clear-cut line of, well, it doesn't affect anyone. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, are they voting against abortion? Why. Are they, you know? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to point out, that's why I just treat it all equally.
Exactly.
That way you can't get in trouble for singling out one particular group. So, you know, on one episode I might be going hard against the anti-vaxxers. You know, the people who purport that vaccination is detrimental to the health of individuals or groups. And then I'll switch it up to, okay, well, Catholicism this week is brilliant at breeding pedophiles. Let's take a good long look at that. And then, you know, then I might get on somebody who's an ex-Muslim. And I try and treat all of these flawed thinking processes as equal. Because left unchecked, they're all heading in one direction, and that direction is bad. So Islam has been left unchecked for a very long time. Christianity was brought into check, and then over the last 20, 30 years, things have been getting out of control, where it's become more powerful and getting more government infiltration. So there's religious thinking affecting the US at a very high level, which impacts the rest of the world. That's why it's worth scrutinizing. Then you've got homeopathy, for example, which is sort of in its infancy, but it's the same sort of thing. Well, there's something here that we can't prove. It's not tangible. We think it's wonderful. It's the cure for everything. Let's try it. And that sort of thinking gets people killed because they may have a positive experience with homeopathy treating a cold, but then conversely, when that child then has appendicitis and gets whisked off to the doctor, or doesn't get whisked off to the doctor, right, because they're treating it with sugar tablets. So, I mean, this sort of thinking, when left unchecked, is detrimental to the planet at large.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly. And I think that you did point out examples of where each different belief system you mentioned has bad effects. But I would say even in one where you can't necessarily point to an immediate bad effect that some – I think of the really domesticated American Christian, you know, who's in the sense that their beliefs have gone completely neutral or mostly neutral or just neutered. you know, just to the point where it's like, well, it doesn't affect anyone. I just have this, you know, I have this belief and all that. Even if you can't exactly point to, well, this is causing this consequence. Okay, I think that you
then you've got what's that person likely to vote for at the next election?
That's kind of what I was going to say. I mean, you could say, oh, like my friend, for example, she votes completely liberal. So I guess in some ways you could say that that maybe her faith doesn't affect that. But like you've said, and the point I wanted to make just to tie this up here is, I don't know that it. It might be that we're in a position where we aren't seeing what the negative consequence is, but that doesn't mean that there isn't one. And like you said, whether it's voting or whether it's I think that it could be identifying with a certain group, maybe because of a belief you share, even though, you know, you don't have extremist versions of it. They might have it, or they might have different things, and giving strength to that group within the country, that sort of thing. I mean, we're not in a position where we can evaluate every single claim like, okay, is this claim going to cause any harm? Well, no. So therefore we can't attack it. You know, a lot of people, I think, want to say that you shouldn't attack people's beliefs because of this reason. But I just want to say that we may not know what the bad consequence is. And therefore I think we have a right to attack any claim that is just not grounded in reality. So that would be what I would say on it. So I sort of react that way when I hear people say, well, as long as it's not hurting anyone, I'm not going to argue with their belief. And I kind of want to say, well, I don't know. It might be hurting someone.
Yes. But I find it an interesting philosophical exercise trying to, you know, I have family members who believe in spirits. And I'm never going to change their views. But if I've got a sister or a cousin or somebody else who happens to be listening in and going, okay, well, maybe spirits doesn't make sense. Well, then it's had a positive knock-on effect. All flawed thinking processes sooner or later will become detrimental if left unchecked. And it may just be, well, I didn't go to the doctor. I tried to treat it with homeopathy or prayer. And it didn't hurt anyone but me. But how do you know that it's not going to come to a head at some point later?
Right. Mm.
And it's actually beneficial for that person to change their thinking processes, as you say, to be more grounded in reality, because it makes them less prone to go and spend money calling a $4.95 a minute astrology hotline to find out whether or not the weather on your wedding day is going to be perfect. You know?
Yeah.
You can save money by thinking critically. This is a good thing in an economy that is currently not good. You need to say the fewer dollars you're putting into charlatan pockets, the better it is for everybody. That charlatan will then have to, not having an audience, will then have to move on and do something practical.
Yeah, that makes
would
me
also
think,
benefit people.
As just a side note about the homeopathy and the alternative medicine thing, I always love that bit of cognitive dissonance or hypocrisy when they say, look at Big Pharma. They make billions. Now I'm going to go ahead and spend all my money on this. I'm sure these are not-for-profit companies that are making these homeopathic remedies. What do you think they are? They're companies. They make billions. They probably do at this point. Alternative medicine is definitely a billion-dollar industry.
You know why it's called alternative medicine?
Because it works and it's absolutely effective and in every way, and right? That's what you're going to say, right?
Because it's not medicine.
Yeah.
If it worked, it would be called medicine.
Right.
Sorry, I'm disgusted. Can I hang up?
I'd prefer you not to, but I guess you're going to just drop the mic and go.
So I'll put in a slamming door sound effect or something. More diva-ish than I really am.
I'd like to take this time to make a few humble requests of our wonderful listening audience. Please give us a review on iTunes. It helps the show immensely. Also, give us a like on facebook.com/atheisticallyspeaking. And give us a follow on Twitter, username @speakatheism.
If an episode sparks a thought or comment, leave it on the Facebook page and the guys might discuss it on the air. Thank you and enjoy the rest of the show.
I don't know what your experience with this is, but I have so many friends who are into the alternative medicine stuff and they'll post on Facebook. And first off, it's always funny how hostile they are toward anyone who might, you know, they want to, it's always, you know, and it's hard to judge just from this small selection, but in my experience, it tends to be people who really promote ideas of everyone's right equally and every idea is equal, everything's right. You know, and it's all relative and it's just, you know, perspectives. And then I'll say, well, homeopathy doesn't work. Dude, you're totally wrong. Come on. You know, that kind of thing.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. Look, studies can't exactly capture it. You know, it works for some people. You know, maybe it doesn't work for you, but it works for me. You know, that kind of thing. It's.
Do you know, just dragging you back to one of the points you mentioned earlier, do you know why I like big pharma earning billions of dollars?
I'll go ahead and set you up. Why?
Well, because it then funds testing
big
scenarios.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, of course, there's profit to be made. It's all run as a business. But what it does is make for the safest possible outcome for the community at large. So, you know, if these guys were small pharma and creating new antiretrovirals on $12.50 a year and you know, a Bunsen burner, then it's you can't fund those sort of testing programs without putting the global community at risk. It has to be funded.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no conspiracy here. It's a business.
Yeah.
and there's standards put in place to protect people. That's not to say that the people who are running the business can't do well. I think they should. They should be rewarded for the work they do.
I think that you honestly took the words right out of my brain when it comes to that. I haven't yet fully gotten to that on my show, but I want to do a show about not necessarily atheist Republicans, but maybe atheists who also have what might be considered conservative ideals because they seem to be underrepresented. And maybe I don't want to, you know, put words in your mouth, but I tend to agree with you, and I think it's possibly because we both have had economics at some point in our education. Could that be it? Because I remember from taking economics and stuff that that's incentives are the only things that get anything done. And I actually work for the state government here, and I don't trust the government that much. I mean, I'm all for regulation to make sure that companies don't go nuts and can't do whatever they want. Of course, that corporations can't take advantage of people. It goes without saying. But the idea that somehow privately handling, you know, all of like research and all that, I don't think it would work because I work for the government and it's the most inefficient BS thing in the world. I can't. It's just the incentives aren't there. I mean, it can do good, of course, in different.
Well, no,
different
get paid the same amount whether or not you do any work or not.
Exactly.
And once you're in government, it's extremely hard to get people out of it.
That's right. And when you're doing poorly, it's so far removed from you, from the person who did it, from a supervisor, from whoever, you know, from a secretary, from whoever is making the decision, or from the politician even. The consequences are years removed, they're difficult to prove, they're, you know, all this stuff whereas in a company, if you do something wrong, if you make a bad decision, you lose money. It's instantly, you understand what went wrong and you say, oh crap, somebody fires you, you know, it's like, if you, or, you know, or you realize that you have to get your shit together, but it just doesn't work that way in government. And that's why I, that would be my thing. I mean, I'm no Republican, but I have a limited trust in what government can achieve because of very realistic reasons. I mean, I've seen it.
I agree.
So that would be, maybe when I get around to having that doing that episode, I wonder if you wouldn't mind.
Or running for president, even.
Or when you get around to running for president, what? President Adam Riakis.
No, not me.
Oh.
You.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, sure.
The only person, you know, they wouldn't have an Australian running the country. They're quite happy having a Muslim running your country.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a joke, people.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Adam, I mean, Obama proves you don't have to be born in America to, you know, to run for president. So, you know, he opened the door right wide open. Just walked through it.
Well, no, I've got my sights set much higher than America. I'm going for North Korea.
Yeah, that's a cush gig.
It's not bad. Somebody counts the grains of rice you have before every meal. It's an ideal regime. I think he's done very well for himself.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough for you to get the votes, I'm going to say. I think.
Oh, did you see the last election results? Did you?
That's what I'm alluding to.
100% of people who voted voted for Kim Jong-un.
I'm really surprised that he didn't go for the 110%. That's the only thing that surprised.
Only Chuck Norris could achieve that. But I'm curious about the 100% of people who did not vote for him. I think they're probably at the bottom of a very large pit as we speak.
Oh, God. And you wouldn't be able to challenge him to, you know, like say, hey, let's play 18 holes of golf. Whoever wins, you know, he gets to be president of Korea, whatever they call it, because he'll shoot an 18. So you can't. I mean, that was his father, of course, but
yes,
that was another thing he claimed that he shot.
Well, there's quite a few interesting claims about North Korea. Yeah. Just while we're on the topic, do you know that he was born the grandfather before Kim Jong Il? Il-sung, was it?
I think the
original god was born under a star. And I think there may have also been some virgin work. There may have been some virgin work involved as well. So
I'm pretty sure we were all born under some sort of star. there are quite a few stars.
Unless, of course, you were born during the day, in which case there'd be no stars at all.
No, I just mean spatially. I mean,
I think you need a better grasp of science, Thomas. There's no stars during the day.
Oh, that'd they go ridiculous. Away. Yeah, that's right. They all run around. They're like, get out of here. This the sun's coming out, which is not a star.
Which is not a star. Yes, spot on.
I watched a bit of a documentary while we're on the subject of North Korea on when some people wanted to come in and fix, I believe it was do cataract surgery, a very basic surgery that has such a huge impact on people's lives. I mean, without the technology to fix cataracts, it's a miserable existence once they get to be that bad. And with the technology, it's a pretty quick fix. And these doctors really wanted to try to, you know, do a good thing and heal some of these people. And they did. And every single one of them afterward tearfully praised Kim Jong-il at the time for healing their eyes. And it was, if you watch it, it's gut wrenching. It really is. I it's so frustrating that somehow nothing can be done about North Korea. It really is. Cause it is a religion in a lot of ways. Mm. I mean, the idea that you're going to say, what's not religious about that? I mean, that some doctor fixes your eyes, who's from a different country than North Korea. And then you tearfully and just in hysterics are praising the leader of the country who was not there, who had no part in it for healing your eyes.
Probably didn't approve it either.
No kidding. And I think that I think they mentioned, it's been a few years since I watched it, but I think they mentioned they might have been wary of the fact that there's cameras. Anytime there's cameras, they're going to be very careful to make a show of how much they love the leader. And it's just, God, that's horrible. It's a shame that nothing can be done about that. So maybe when you win the election, you know, good luck.
Oh, look, it'll be, I intend to change nothing, just quietly.
I'm honestly not. Hey guys, don't plan on, if Adam does try to, you know, run for the, if he makes a go at this election, just go ahead and count on maybe no more episodes of his podcast coming out. Just, I would say just realistically.
Uploaded from the 33.6K. modem in North Korea.
Oh, I was implying that you'd instantly be killed, but that too. The second you tried to make it go at it. thing I talked about recently, and I'm sure you've heard, Adam, is the passing of the great Fred Phelps.
Yes, yes. A minute's silence, please.
Yes, a moment's silence. I'm not going to actually be silent for a moment, but I'll go ahead and edit in. You know,
please do.
Yeah, because there's no way.
It'd be the respectful thing to do.
I'll edit in. I could put in a whole silent episode, honestly. Actually, that would be the easiest editing I've ever done. Wow. Wait a minute. I just thought of a great new podcast idea. Yeah, but one thing that – and I do like to try to talk about meta-atheism topics on here. And one thing that sort of frustrated me a bit about that was that I had to hear from every atheist and their atheist mother about how to react to this news and how I ought to show respect because that'll be the right thing to do or not necessarily show respect, but don't celebrate and that kind of thing. And I wasn't planning on doing any celebrating. But I just had the perspective that you sort of reap what you sow. And when you're a horrible guy and you cause people a lot of pain, I mean, he really did. I'm not going to tiptoe around your demise. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to be overjoyed. But I'm going to say, okay, that's one less person who's making other people's lives really unpleasant on this planet. And I'm happy he's gone. So
That's a very fair point to make. And in regards to people telling you how to rejoice or how to acknowledge the event, what nonsense. I mean, what's wrong with everybody just acknowledging it in their own way? And then the ones that are meaningful to the most people get the most publicity. Boom. Let the free market sort it out. You don't dictate to people what you can and can't say about someone else's death. I mean, I've been quite silent on the issue, but what I really think is that who cares?
Yeah.
The guy was an obnoxious bloke. I'm not going to celebrate his demise.
Hey, and I'm not here to tell you should care. That's for damn sure. Because then I'd be just as bad as everyone I'm sort of saying should be quiet about.
But I am interested in what other people have to say about it. And from that, because I didn't really know too much about it. I'd never experienced, even remotely first, second, or third hand, anybody who'd encountered him or had negative effects from him. So there's no impact on me. But by listening to more and more people speak about it, I can begin to build a more informed view on his achievements, if such a thing can be said. So,
yeah,
that's why I just sit down and shut up on it.
And okay, if my statement didn't seem to get any disagreement with you, I'm wondering if I could try to make one further point that I'm not sure people would agree with me on. I think the problem with Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church was not that they picketed funerals. That was not the problem. The problem was the reason they picketed funerals and the message they were delivering was just a bullshit message. And the reason I say that is because I could envision a possibility where it might be appropriate to picket a funeral. What if your country was engaged in a completely unjust war and was slaughtering people? And they honored a soldier who maybe was responsible for killing a great many innocent people. Wouldn't you say, okay, we need to have the right to picket that funeral? What if the government told you, no, you don't have that right. You can't do that. Wouldn't you look at that as, wait a minute, that's infringing on our rights. And the reason I say this is because I think the same motivation for not celebrating Fred Phelps's death at all. And I use that term loosely. I don't mean literally having a party, but the motivation I think is this equivocation to where you'd be, okay, if you did that, you'd be just as bad as him. And I don't think that's it. If you wanted to picket Fred Phelps's funeral because you lost a family member and he picketed yours, I would say, go ahead. I mean, people called for not doing that and I get it, but I would almost say if he hurt you that much, picket his funeral. Maybe you will have some effect. I don't know. Probably not. But maybe you will have some effect on the other members. And the problem wasn't the picketing of funerals. The problem was the reason they gave and their beliefs. I think that people are very hesitant to actually deal with these beliefs. They want to deal with all these superfluous – or not superfluous, but these surrounding issues of, well, he shouldn't picket the funeral. He should have decency or whatever. I want to just deal with the beliefs. And so that would be my – I found on there.
Which brings us full circle back to why people make decisions about on beliefs alone,
right,
without facts. So, yeah, boom. You've got the full donut show there.
So you wouldn't disagree with that then?
No, I wouldn't.
Well,
I think exactly along the line, I don't have anything further to add.
Okay, no, I was just wondering if I was if I was nuts. You know, if I was going to say something that you would say, oh, no, that's a ridiculous argument, here's why. I really am curious because I haven't really fully mentioned it to anybody. I was just looking to see if I was crazy.
Well, no, see, a similar point was raised on Australian television not very long ago and in law, because we've got these bikie gangs, and these are a bunch of gentlemen who, by and large, are not very nice.
Hmm.
Now, the government, I think the state government of Queensland, began imposing some sort of laws where they weren't allowed to wear gang colours. Now, I think that's a really stupid idea, because they should be allowed to go and congregate and wear whatever they like. Because if it happens to them, who else could it happen to?
Right, yeah.
You know, we football teams? It's going to make for
that's
a very difficult...
Well, that's a gang of 11 men that are... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes, my views on Australian sporting... football teams.
Oh, yeah. Australian rules football, right? Mm. Is that...
24 rapists and drug addicts colliding in a paddock.
That's sort of how it is over here. Yeah.
But and that's a crass generalization to make. I say it in jest because...
No, it was worth it for the joke. I found it.
Well, good. Yes, man. Any letters of complaint, please send them to Thomas at T and the B.
Okay. Well, I suppose that does bring it full circle nicely, and I want to thank you again for coming on my show. Thank you very much, Adam.
Well, it's my pleasure, Thomas. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, and take care, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Oh, we will. All the best.
All right. Well, everyone, it's time to give a little state of the show update, I think. I really regret to have to say that David will not be continuing on as full-time co-host. It's just a function of time. I have really high hopes and ambitions for this show, and with David's schedule, it's just not going to work out to be able to keep up with two shows a week and that pace and stuff, because he really does work all the time, two jobs, and has the GRE and all that that I've mentioned before. So I'm really sad about that, but I'm hoping he'll be able to come on from time to time. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, I don't want this show to just be me talking, because I already have a show where I do that on Thomas and the Bible. And although that is just me talking about the Bible, so it's a little different. But so my goal now is to have far more guests than we've been having, like the one you just listened to. Adam was a great guest, and that made for a great show. And I hope to have more like him and others. For example, next week will be Noah will be back, and we'll be talking about the Supreme Court case. Hobby Lobby thing. So I'm going to try to fill the void as best I can with some more voices in here. Of course, it's not going to be easy, and I really am sad that I'm not going to have David full time commenting on stuff, because it sucks, but it's understandable, and I really hope the show can go on. I hope that I can give you guys the quality that you've come to be used to. So I have really high ambitions for the show. I really want to get some great guests and keep building it up that way, and try to get on more and more engaging people. And I might look into trying to book people of a different viewpoint and trying to turn it into more of a, maybe not debate, but a discussion where there's more than just one side going. And keep it interesting that way. So I'm going to do my best. I really want this show to be good, like I said. And so I hope that you'll stick with me, and hopefully these past couple weeks by myself have been good. We've been kind of figuring stuff out during this time, David and I, so it's been sort of short notice for me to have to do these episodes. So hopefully when, you know, going forward, knowing what's the situation is and everything, I can continue to provide a high quality show. So thanks so much. And thanks so much to David for contributing all he did. I really like the shows that happened, and who knows, the situation could change. I don't know. But for at least the short term, it's going to be me and different guests. All right. Well, that said, thanks so much for listening again this week, and I will see you next week.